The fourth myth. Since the Bible calls God Father, what's really being taught here, according to this myth, is kind of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. All human beings are God's children. True or false?
This was a real big slogan, especially back in the 50s and 60s, you know, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It is not so that all creatures are God's children in the sense of having an unbroken relationship with him. You can't presume that just because God has made me that I'm just exactly what God wants me to be. This is back to the problem of sin that we said before is in some ways inexplicable. How could sin enter a world that God made good? But nonetheless, that's what we've got. And that's what this myth, I think, is getting at, the fact that we do have to take account of the effects that sin has brought into the world. Galatians 3, Paul writes, "The Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." But it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we are sons of God. We're not sons of God naturally.
We would have been had we not fallen into sin. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
But sin has broken the relationship to such an extent that we cannot call those who do not possess faith in Jesus Christ children of God in any sense, beyond that they're created by God.
Not in that sense of being, you know, the children of God who, for example, St. John says, as many as received him, who believed in his name, which is what it means to receive him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Those who lack that faith do not have that sonship relationship. I guess what we're saying is it's important to distinguish between being God's creatures and being his children. And it's important for us to understand that in our daily activities, because sin can use even good and noble things that are in our makeup, things that God originally placed into the human heart, and turn them against us, like sincerity. As we record this program, Todd, we're talking just a few days after the day of the conversion of St. Paul. Now, here was a man who started off as a persecutor of the church, but completely sincere. He was sincere about what he was doing. He met Christ on the road to Damascus and found out that he was completely wrong, sincerely wrong, but wrong nonetheless. Somebody on the bus to San Diego thinking he's going to Chicago may be sincere about thinking he's going to San Diego, but he's not. He's wrong.
What difference does it make for us Christians, then, that we are both God's creatures and his children by virtue of Christ's death on the cross?
I think the best way to talk about that is to tell you a little story about the boy and his sailboat. A boy handcrafted a model sailboat. He was so proud of it. He painted it up, took it out for its maiden voyage on the lake, and let it out on a string, and there it was, sailing in the water. The sun was shining, and it was a glorious occasion. And then the string broke, and the boy ran along the bank of the lake while he's watching his boat go further and further out of sight. And finally, he loses sight of it altogether. He goes home crestfallen. And then the next day, he's walking downtown, and he sees in the window of a store his boat. He'd know it anywhere. I mean, he made this thing. So he runs home. He breaks open his piggy bank. He gathers up every last nickel and dime that he can possibly call his own, and he runs back to that store, and he buys his boat back. And now, walking out of the store, he looks down at his boat, and he says, "You are now twice mine, once because I made you, and once because I bought you back." That's what God has done for us in Christ. He has redeemed. He's bought back the creation that was his in the first place. But now he's gone to these extra lengths, the lengths of the shedding of the blood and the suffering and death of his own son in order to buy us back. And if that doesn't tell us about God's love and his pleasure with us and his attitude of love and grace toward us, I don't know what will.